want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good day to you, Brevard County. Welcome back to the Refresh Radio program. My name is Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merritt Assembly of God, and we pray that you had a glorious weekend and that you're all rested, relaxed, and raring to go for another day of being used by God for His glory. So I'd like to say thank you to the folks at Coastal Image Landscapes. Listen, I don't know if you've ever had a situation where you were so familiar with someone that you didn't notice when something had changed. Like, you know, parents don't notice that their kids have grown too much unless they see their clothes are now 3 inches too short. But if grandparents don't see them for a while and they look and they say, wow, they have grown so much, it's because our last perspective and our new perspective are different. The same thing can be true about a church building. And we have a lot of people, some that are there Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and they're there so much that sometimes that we don't notice how much things have grown, like the bushes, the trees, the branches, the bird of paradise that is absolutely ecstatic around our place. But that is something that had happened to us on occasion. Some people would say, Pastor, could you trim some branches so that I can stand up straight when I get out of my car? And so we took care of that. But we noticed that there was some other landscaping issues that we were needing to deal with. And Coastal Image Landscapes helped us out. They did a great job. And this is what I want you to know. They helped us out to such an extent, and they did it so quickly that the people in the church noticed. In fact, we joked about it when they came, and I said, do you think that anybody will notice? And he said, no, I doubt anybody notices at all. Well, people noticed because they made it look so much better. Not only did they help us, you know, regain control over some of the areas that were getting out of control, but they also helped us with preventative measures so that some of the problems we were having, we wouldn't have those problems anymore. Coastal Image Landscapes has been a blessing to us. They'll be a blessing to you. Call them at 321-208-2281. Dan is the person that I've dealt with, and you know, tell them you heard about him on the Refresh Radio program, and that would be a wonderful, wonderful thing. 321-208-2281. We're going to go back to Acts chapter 4. We were here on Friday. We're going to see if we can get through some more of this today. I don't know if we'll get all the way through. Let's start reading in verse number 13 of Acts chapter 4. And then we will pick up in verse number 18. This just gives you a little bit of the context. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled and they realized that they had been with Jesus. And seeing the man who had been healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, "What shall we do to these men? For indeed that a notable miracle has been done through them is evident to all who dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But so that it spreads no further among the people, let us severely threaten them, that from now on they speak to no man in this name." So they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said to them, "Whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God, you judge. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding no way of punishing them because of the people, since they all glorified God for what had been done. For the man was over 40 years old on whom this miracle of healing had been performed. And being let go, they went to their own companions and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. So when they heard that, they raised their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, you are God who made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them, who by the mouth of your servant David have said, why do the nations rage and the people plot vain things? We're going to end the reading right there for the time being. So on Friday's broadcast, we had got up through verse number 17, where the religious leadership had threatened Peter and John and commanded them not to speak any more in the name of Jesus. Well, I want you to know that Jesus wants his kingdom built. He wants his church built, and we are to be the mouthpiece of that. So once they had decided on a course of action, they call Peter and John back in, and they command them, and you know, it's a mandate, it's an imperative that they have implemented on these disciples and said, don't speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. So how are you going to respond to that mandate? How are you going to respond to that command? I've made mention on the program here that I'm not really sure that people have an adequate understanding of what being submitted to those in authority over you looks like. A lot of times people are very simple. I tried to explain this to a person one time, a person I've known a long time and is a very educated guy. I'm not sure that we, you know, fall into the same spectrum of faith all the time. But he likes to post things about being submitted to authority, and he likes to do that when one particular side is in authority. And so in one of those conversations, I said, well, that authority has got to be a godly authority, because you cannot just say, I was following orders. That didn't work well during the Nuremberg trials. And he didn't care for that response. And so you have heard me through the years talk about authority, and you see it right here. According to my acquaintance, when the religious leadership tell Peter and John not to speak anymore in the name of Jesus or teach anymore in the name of Jesus, according to his understanding, well, they're the people in authority, and therefore I've got to follow their orders. And that misses the importance that is emphasized in this particular passage of Scripture. And so, if you'll allow me, I'll just do a brief synopsis. There are four levels of authority. God is at the top and is always at the top. He's always right. He is never wrong. Underneath that are people who are in authority over us. In this particular scenario, there would be the chief priests and the elders, that they are authorities, and then you've got Peter and John as the third level, and then there are people that you and I have authority over in our lives, and I'm sure that there were people under Peter and John's authority as well. And so each one of those levels has a responsibility to stay under the mandate that God has given to us. And so it is impossible for a person to rebel against God and then demand that the people who haven't shifted out from underneath God's silo of authority, that, well, in order to honor God, you've got to shift over here and submit to my rebellion. That's not what is being said here at all. What is being demonstrated here is a religious leadership, the people in authority over us, who have shifted out from underneath God's authority to establish their own authority, and they will fight tooth and toenail to keep it. That's an old Oklahoma expression. You hate it when they fight tooth and toenail. It's just ugly. But that's what has happened here. And Peter and John have a response, and that is this: whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God, you judge. You decide. Okay? So what they're saying is, we're not here to be disrespectful, but you say we're uneducated. You say we're untrained. You also see a guy standing here healed that y'all couldn't heal. So would you listen to you, or would you listen to God? You make the choice. And the truth of the matter is people make choices. These religious leadership, they would not say, well, you know, we're under Rome's authority, so we got to do what they said. These people would have been the first ones to rejoice if Rome had been expelled from Jerusalem and the nation of Israel and their authority. Remember, they were very determined not to lose their authority when Jesus was ministering. Said it's better him to die than the whole nation perish. We lose our authority. We don't want that. And so Peter says, which decision would you make? Would you listen to you, or would you listen to God? So let me ask you a question on a Monday. Who are you going to listen to today? Are you going to listen to those who are rebelling against God, or are you going to listen to God and his word? I highly suggest listening to his word. Rebellion can take place at any level except for God's. God can never rebel against himself. He's always going to be faithful to who he is. And so we have to handle with care and compassion in dealing with those in authority over us that rebel against God, and invite them back into relationship with God. If we get outside of God's silo of authority, if you will, if we rebel against God, then we've got an opportunity for repentance. That's what the religious leadership here had. They had an opportunity to repent, but they didn't choose that. And then if there's a person underneath your authority that rebels, you have the opportunity for a teachable moment. Unfortunately, in 2022, people aren't all that teachable. They are pretty well made up in their minds, and they don't care what the Word of God has to say about it. They're going to rebel against it if it doesn't fit with their sphere of friends, their circle of influence, or their philosophy of politics or life. And I'm here to tell you, we need to get back to the very simple thing that says this: God is God. I'm going to listen to him, and I'm going to obey him no matter what happens around me. So whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God, you judge, for we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. The disciples had a different attitude towards that of many Christians in our modern society. One of the challenges that we have as pastors is to try and motivate people to tell their friends and family about the greatest relationship that has ever happened to them in their life, and that is that Jesus has forgiven them of their sins and is the Lord of their life, and man, he's given them hope and a future and healing and happiness and joy and peace, and we're just living the best life that we've ever lived now because Jesus came into our life. We spend much of our time trying to motivate people in the arena of sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. I want you to read that verse again with me and see what Peter and John had to say. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. What they said is silence is not an option for us. We can't help ourselves. We're so excited about our resurrected Savior. We're so excited about how he's changed our lives. We're so excited about how he's changed this man's life that we cannot stop talking about the things which we have seen and the things which we have heard. Really, witnessing boils down to those two things. What have you seen? What have you heard? What have you seen and what have you heard? And I pray that your testimony is fresh. So back in about 1996 or 90, let's see, there was 96 and probably late 96, early 97. I went to a revival. I got totally refreshed in my walk with the Lord. Back at the end of 1995, my company had lost its lease. My wife started working full time. We had three young children. I started working at the church mostly full time. I had some side jobs that I did. A friend of mine called me, and after we had started some new ministries, because now I had more time to focus on the church, and he said, can you help me out for a short period of time? And so I did. And as a result of that, I was getting tired. And by the end of summertime, I was needing some Jesus time. And so I took a trip. I went to a revival, and it was glorious. It wasn't something man-made or contrived. It was just a supernatural move of God. And it went from being a nice visit to being a life-altering visit in the matter of about 30 seconds. I was on my way out the door because I still had a long trip ahead of me the next day, and it was getting pretty late into the night when all of a sudden the pastor of the church said, "Pastor, where are you from?" And I still to this day can tell you exactly what he prayed. I told him, "I'm from Merit Assembly of God," and the lady that was visiting with there, her husband had pastored Merit Assembly of God years before we did. And that was the church that she attended. We just stopped in, my kids and I, to say hello and to honor her and enjoy time worshiping around the throne. And he said, God breathe on that church. God breathe on Merit Assembly of God. And it was glorious. Of course, I told everybody about the things that had happened to me. I told them about what I'd seen. I told them about what I'd heard. And here, I'm telling you this story for this reason. My wife came to me after a few weeks and said, I'm going to need you to get a new testimony because you keep sharing the same testimony over and over and over again. I pray that we never reach the place where we're content with just what God did in our past and we quit pressing forward for what he has for us in the future. Surely by now, you have seen God do something. Surely by now, you have heard a sermon, read a scripture, heard something from God in prayer that radically changed your life. All people need to hear from you is for you to tell them your personal encounter with Jesus. What have you seen? What have you heard? What has Jesus done in your life? Because it might not just be you that they hear something like that from. It might be a number of people. And when they hear from a number of people that God is on the move, they will say, well, I need God to move in my life. I need God to do something in my life. And God will take your story, plant a seed of faith inside of them, and pretty soon God is going to be moving in their life. If you have an evangelism opportunity at church, take it. If they're offering an evangelism class, take it. But let me tell you, it is meant to be organic, not just organized. It is supposed to be one of those things that would say, look, we can't help ourselves. When that person told me, praise the Lord, and I said, you know what, I think I will, and threw up my hands and praised the Lord. I want to get to the place where we can't help but to reach out to the hurting and offer praise and glory to God. He said, for we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding no way of punishing them because of the people, since they all glorified God for what had been done, for the man was over 40 years old on whom this miracle of healing had been performed. Let's see if we can conclude today with the reaction that the disciples had. And being let go, they went to their own companions and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. They gave an accounting of what had happened. It started with this. We were on our way to prayer, and the next thing we know, God is healing this guy that's over 40 years old that was born lame, and now he's walking and leaping for joy. Next thing we know, we're being hauled before the religious leadership, and they threatened us and told us not to speak anymore in the name of Jesus. So when they heard that, they raised their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, you are God. Okay? The more persecution elevates in our day and time, the more valuable you are going to find other people of faith. I'm talking about genuine, hardcore, blood-bought, died to self, believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so when you experience some adversity, let me tell you what they didn't do. They didn't say, oh, well, we gave it our best shot and they didn't like it, so we'll just stop. No, they went to prayer with one accord and they said, Lord, you are God. You were God this morning before we went to prayer. You were God before the guy got healed. You were God before we got hauled before the religious leadership. You're God after we got in trouble. You're still God, and you made heaven and earth and the sea and everything that is in it. Okay? And so the first thing that they did was they reminded themselves and they reminded God of who he was and that they knew who he was at that point. Okay? When you reject the standards that God has put in his word, you are left with nothing but chaos and confusion. When you're getting called on the carpet, so to speak, by people who do not have the same authority level as God, it really helps to remind yourself and others, they're not God. They're not God. Can I elevate your vision today to look beyond men as your provision and look to God? God is your Savior. He's your Creator. He's the lover of your soul. He's the forgiver of your sins. He's the one who's preparing a place for you. He's the one that's coming again for you, and He is the one who sustained you. If He created you, He knows how to fix you. And I will tell you that when we get to the place where we realize that no matter what man does, they're not going to be able to overthrow God. No matter what the devil does, they're not going to be overthrow God. Whatever government does, they're not going to be able to overthrow God. And you realize God is your provision. It is a liberating thing. Remember, we mentioned, I think it was on Friday's broadcast, that they had seen the boldness of Peter and John. And I just think of this saying, you ain't seen nothing yet. Because they were getting ready to see not just a couple of emboldened believers, but they're getting ready to see a church of thousands of emboldened believers. I believe it was John Wesley who had made a statement like this, said the world has yet to see what could be accomplished with 100 men who are 100% committed to following and obeying the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the Bob Arthur's paraphrase version on a Monday morning. It said, with 100 people who are completely sold out to God and are not afraid of the consequences of this world, the world has yet to see what those men could accomplish. Guess what? You don't have to be a man. You can be a woman. You can be a boy. You can be a girl. But in this late hour on the world's time clock, we need all hands on deck. All of us saying, you know what? You've got to decide who you're going to listen to, but we're going to listen to God and remind ourselves, God, you were God before we got in trouble, and you're still God today. He's still God this very day, May the 30th. Have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow right here.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Houses or lands, I'd rather be. nail-pierced hand than to be.